In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you, what you have to tell me today. We do our prayer with your parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector or publican, which has so much to tell us. We open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 18th chapter. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And Lord, you teach us so much by that brief parable. They both went to pray. Praying is always a good thing. And they both went to the temple to pray. And we know if we can pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, go to our parish church, or some chapel, recollect ourselves and talk with you who are present there in that sacramental form in the Eucharist, how much easier it is to pray. Help us to find opportunities to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then you tell us the Pharisee stood. Some of the fathers of the church commenting on that posture of standing say, it is a posture that can indicate pride. Because, Lord, if we want to beg you for something, do we stand? We kneel. Please, Lord, grant us this favor. And if we want to ask your pardon for our sins, we kneel. Please, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the very posture of the Pharisee is indicating just by itself some aspect of pride. And then you say, he prayed with himself. And again, some of the fathers of the church comment on that. It's as if he weren't talking to you. He was praying with himself. He was looking at himself. He was talking to himself, saying how good he was. And then, yes, he begins by thanking you. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. But already he's comparing himself with others, and really with all others. I'm not like others. Extortioners, unjust adulterers. He's better than they are. Yes, he's thanking you, but is that thanking genuine? Or is he simply going through that motion, thanking you that he's better than others? And he is better than others because he has made himself better than others, taking credit for it. He's looking down on them with pride. And he even dares to judge the publican, the tax collector, when he says, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. How does he know what the tax collector is thinking, what sort of man he is? Yes, he is a tax collector, And we know tax collectors were despised at that time because they had a sort of business. They had to collect a certain amount of money to give to the Romans, and whatever was left over, they kept for themselves. They were often wealthy. But how does he know what this tax collector is thinking? And Lord, he is judgmental. He's making a judgment on others. They're all extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And he is the one righteous man. We can't judge people. And you yourself warn us against that. We go to the Sermon on the Mount, and there you tell us, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And Lord, this is what we do. We presume to take the speck, the little faults, from our brothers and judge them, while we don't realize we have so many faults ourselves. And ours are like a log, like a beam, and the faults of others are comparatively smaller. And you tell us, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And Lord, you will judge us in the way we judged others. Help us not to make those judgments. Yes, we can see the external conduct of others. We can judge that. We can say, this person is habitually late. That person is always talking about herself or himself. But we can't judge intentions. We have no idea what is going on in their hearts. And a good way to look on others is to assume that they are much better than we are. For all we know, they are saints. Yes, they have their defects, but we don't know what goes on in their heart. We don't know their relationship with you. Let us assume that they are saints and be inspired to try harder ourselves. The Pharisee then lists his own good qualities, and he has them. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Fasting twice a week, giving 10% of his income, is notable. But he's boasting about what he has done. He's attributing these good deeds to himself, as if he was the one who made himself righteous and holy. We too have many good qualities, many good accomplishments. But Lord, help us in humility to thank you genuinely for making us what we are. You had us born perhaps into a very good, faith-filled family with parents who loved one another and who loved us and who taught us virtues and values and taught us to pray, to make the sign of the cross, to say grace before meals, to go to Mass on Sundays. We were blessed by you from our childhood. And then they sent us to a good school. They took us to Mass on Sundays. We learned so much by that blessing of having good parents growing up in a good family. It's all your work. And then, yes, in later years, and now perhaps we pray a lot. We go to Mass. We go to confession. We have many good deeds. But let us always come back to you with gratitude. Lord, what I am is all your work. Not only the virtues, the values I have, but the deeds that I do. Yes, I did them, but corresponding to your grace. Without your grace, I couldn't have done them. To see that everything we are and everything we do, we owe to you, and to come back with many acts of thanksgiving. A humble person makes many acts of thanksgiving. for everything, for the most simple thing. We've just had a good phone conversation with someone. Lord, thank you for that. Or that report that we just finished writing, that letter, that email, that meal that we made, many acts of thanksgiving. Then we are truly humble. And many acts of petition. A humble person knows he or she can't do it by himself or herself. Lord, we ask you, help me in this simple little thing that I do every day so that it goes well. Then we are relying on you. If we are proud of what we are doing, if we take the credit for it ourselves, we lose all the merit. Because it's not our work, it is you. Pride takes away the value of the best things, like those of the Pharisee, fasting twice a week, giving tithes of all that he possesses. St. Josemaria comments in one of his meditations, "Do not forget, my children, that humility is such an important virtue that if it is lacking, there can be no virtue. For even though a particular act may seem virtuous, it cannot be if it is the consequence of pride, of vanity, or of stupidity, or if we do it thinking about ourselves, putting ourselves before the service of God, the good of souls, and the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, doing it for you, for your glory. If we're doing that to feel good, to show ourselves how good we are, how virtuous, we lose all the merit." And St. Bernard says something similar. "Without humility, not even the virginity of Mary would have been pleasing to God." And now we go to the tax collector. He beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He comes before you not with his accomplishments, his good deeds, his virtues, but with his sins. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He is humble. He realizes his faults and he begs you for mercy. And St. John Chrysostom comments on the two of them, using an analogy of two chariots involved in a race. He says, "This parable represents to us two chariots on the race course, each with two charioteers in it. In one of the chariots, and that's the one of the Pharisee, it places righteousness with pride. In the other, sin and humility. You see the chariot of sin outstrip that of righteousness, not by its own strength, that is to say, not by the strength that sin is better than righteousness. You see the chariot of sin outstrip that of righteousness, not by its own strength, but by the excellence of humility combined with it. But the other is defeated not by righteousness, but by the weight and swelling of pride. For as humility by its own elasticity rises above the weight of pride, and leaping up reaches to God, so pride, by its great weight, easily depresses righteousness. And so, in that race, the chariot of sin with humility wins the race, because the pride outdoes the righteousness. And Lord, when we consider humility and pride, we realize that humility unites the soul with God. It is constantly coming to you, "Please help me with this. Lord, thank you with this. And Lord, I'm sorry for all of my failings, all of my sins." Whereas pride is filled with itself, how good I am. Pride shuts itself off from God. Lord, help us to be very, very humble. And then even with our sinfulness, we are united with you. Let us strive to be like the publican, like the tax collector. We are all sinners like he is, all of us, no matter how good we may be. And St. John says that in his first letter. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all sin. If we think we haven't sinned, the truth is not in us, or we haven't examined ourselves well. And St. Augustine comments using that passage about the saints in heaven. He says, if we could bring together here in living form all the saints of both sexes and question them on whether they were without sin, would they not exclaim unanimously, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? All the saints were sinners too, except, of course, Our Lady, who was given a special grace. Perhaps St. Joseph didn't commit sins, we don't know. But all of those great saints in heaven were sinners, and amongst them St. Augustine. He was a great sinner before his conversion. And he too says of himself, there is no sin or crime committed by another that I am not capable of committing myself, given my weakness. And if until now I have not committed it, it is because God, in his mercy, has not allowed it and has kept me in the good. And Lord, we could all make that statement. There is no sin or crime that we are not capable of committing to. If we have not committed it, it is because God, in his mercy, has not allowed it and has kept us in the good. We are capable of the worst sins, and perhaps we have committed some of them, and others we have avoided. All the saints are sinners, all of us are sinners. And St. Jose Maria says, the saint is not the one who never fell, but the one who always got up again. Or as someone else has said about the lives of the saints, they didn't all begin well, but they all ended well. And think of St. Mary Magdalene, who had 7 devils cast out of her. Humility is to walk in the truth. And the truth is that we have many sins and also many good qualities and deeds, many of them. The reality is twofold. On the one hand, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our defects. On the other hand, all of our good qualities. We all have them. And Lord, grant us the grace to see our sins, to be sincere when we pray, to look at ourselves and not think that we are better than others, but ask, Lord, help me to see how I offend you. Maybe sins that I'm unaware of, that I am committing. Help me to see them so that I can be truly sorry for them. My sins nailed you to the cross. And that we be ready to do penance for them too. We need to make up for our sins. You don't ask that we make up injustice for the full offense against you. We could never do that. How could we, the creature, the sinful creature, in justice, make up to you for sins against you, Almighty God? We could never do that. You don't expect it. But you do ask us to do something, to do penance, to make up for that temporal punishment owing for our sins, at least in some measure. And a helpful thought is this that we have made before. If I were to die today, am I ready to go straight to heaven, or would I spend some time in purgatory? We can never be sure that we have made up sufficiently for all of our sins. Then let us assume that we haven't and do more penance, do more mortification, self-denial. That whittles away that debt of temporal punishment. And then, of course, go to confession. Go often. As St. John Paul II said to priests, hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in Lent in 1981, frequent confession, the so-called confession of devotion, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the Church. If we go regularly to confession, even with venial sins or just imperfections, we are growing in holiness. By the very effort we make to go, to express our humility and our sincerity, and then by the sanctifying grace that we get every time we go, and the sacramental grace, which helps us to avoid the sins that we have just confessed, not mentioning either the spiritual direction that we get from that sacrament. If we go regularly to confession, our sins will be forgiven, and we will emerge ready to struggle harder to grow in holiness. And remembering, too, that our penance has that twofold effect. On the one hand, it helps to make up for our past sins. On the other hand, because it costs us, it strengthens our will for future temptations. We will succeed in overcoming those temptations more readily if we are doing more penance. Lord, help us to see our sinfulness, to realize we too can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And yes, to see our good qualities, our accomplishments, but to thank you for them. They are all your work. And St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, what have you that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? What have you, he could be saying, what good qualities you have, what virtues you have, what growth in holiness you have, that you did not receive, that you did not receive from God, from him who is all merciful. He has given us these gifts, these qualities. If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? And this is what the Pharisee is doing. He's boasting about his accomplishments. Thank God, I'm not like others. Lord, we can never say that. We realize all of our good qualities, our accomplishments, are gifts from you, blessings from you, from your grace, and we thank you for them, and help us to be very, very humble, aware of our sins on the one hand, and aware that all of our good qualities are gifts from you, and we thank you for them. And let us strive to identify in each one of us personally which are the more common manifestations of pride. If we know them, we will be able to struggle against them more readily. But always remembering that pride blinds our mind, our intellect, and it is through our intellect that we get to know ourselves. But pride distorts our intellect, our perception of reality. It makes everything appear more rosy, more bright. We see our good qualities and we exaggerate them. That is the nature of pride, an exaggerated sense of self-worth. When we look at ourselves, we do it necessarily through the prism, the lens of pride, and we see everything more bright than it really is. And when we look at our sins, we diminish their importance. Oh, it's not so bad. And in some sense, we can't help doing that because pride distorts our perception of reality. And so, Lord, when we examine ourselves, that we subtract something from what we think is our virtue, our good deeds, and maybe add something to our sinfulness. What are these manifestations of pride? Some of them, thinking that we are so much better than others, perhaps even than our spouse, than other colleagues of work, than our friends. We are brighter. We have more common sense. We have more experience. Let us realize we are not as good as we think we are. And for all we know, they are much better than we are. Always wanting to have the last word. We are in an argument with someone, and we have to be right. We have to have the last word. A good way to have the last word and end an argument especially if someone has criticized us, made some suggestion of how we could improve, is to say, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. I didn't realize that I was doing it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I offended you with that. I'll try to improve. Pray for me. Those four steps, and not that we necessarily have to go through all of them, but if somebody criticizes us, especially a loved one, then that we have that last word, which is, thank you. I'm sorry. I'll try to improve. Pray for me. And that ends the argument. And that person will have a great love for us when they see our humility. And let it be genuine, not some hypocritical words that they see do not come from the heart. Or if somebody does criticize us, in our pride, we resent it. We bristle. How can you say that to me? You're exaggerating, whatever else we might think. If we are resentful, it is because we are proud. And then that criticism of others, that judgmental nature that we all have, to criticize, to judge, to sit in judgment on them. Lord, help us not to do that. When we are critical, let us turn it into prayer. Lord, these politicians, those other people, that boss, those colleagues, those bishops, whoever it might be, let us pray for them. We turn it into something positive. Envy is a clear manifestation of pride. Envy is defined as sadness in the face of another's good fortune. If we are happy because our neighbor has such well-behaved children, has so much money in the bank, is able to take trips overseas, has all that good fortune, if we're happy for him, we're not envious. We are not sad. We're happy. And that is the virtue of charity, to regard our neighbor's good as our own. But if we are sad, it's because we wanted to have everything he has. And if we want to have everything that others have around us, we will be very, very sad throughout our life. Help us, Lord, to be happy for others' good fortune. Other manifestations of pride, making sure that others know all the good things we've done. We've just got good marks on an exam. We just got a promotion. Somebody complimented us. We want others to know. It's much better if they find out later from someone else than if we are constantly boasting about what we have done. We finish our prayer. And Lord, thank you for giving us this parable, which teaches us so much about humility, about not being judgmental, about sincerity and being aware of our failings. This parable can help us so much. And we go to Our Lady as we always do. If we want an example of humility, as of all the other virtues, it is Mary. She is your most exalted creature as well as being your mother. And when Elizabeth, her kinswoman, praises her, blessed are you among women. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary's response is an act of humility, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She regards herself as the mere handmaid of the Lord, praises God because he has done this in her. Mary, help me to be humble as you are, to be aware of my sinfulness, to be aware that all the good things I have done are gifts from God, to live constantly in praise of God as you do even now in heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.